All right, y'all. Kevin Durant has been out since February with an injured hamstring. Before his injury, KD was averaging 29 points per game. Since he's been out, however, James Harden has emerged as an MVP candidate, averaging 26 points per game, 11 assists. Harden did sit out of last night's game with a hamstring injury on his own. Max, talk to me. Who will be more crucial to a Nets title run? Is it KD or Harden?
It's actually James Harden. And I want to be very clear about this. We're not saying who's better, KD or Harden. We're saying who's more crucial to this title run. The answer is James Harden. First of all, I believe that James Harden and KD together could probably win a championship without Kyrie. I'd say probably. I don't think Kyrie could win one with either just KD or just James Harden. So from that point of view, obviously, and also Kyrie is just spectacular. They're all sort of necessary, right? Here's the thing. James Harden is the guy with postseason issues in the past. He's the guy who has to get over that. He's the guy who's going to also have to figure out how to orchestrate this whole thing. Because Harden and Kyrie got together, and Kyrie was like, you're the point guard. And he was right. Kyrie's basically an off guard in a point guard's body. That's why he plays the point. He's capable of it, but he's best where he can sometimes be off ball, on ball. Harden's best orchestrating the offense. So not only is the orchestration of this offense on Harden, but actually coming through under pressure. Kyrie has done it, and KD has done it, but Harden hasn't yet. That is also on James Harden. So he is the most important player here, to say nothing of the fact that the only reason he's not MVP right now is he hasn't been in Brooklyn the entire time. But look what happened to Houston when he left. Look what happened to Brooklyn when he got there. He's the key, player.
Wrong. James Harden is not the MVP because, you know, oh, he got in Brooklyn. He's the MVP right now because Kevin Durant's been hurt. If Kevin Durant were healthy, Kevin Durant would probably be there. Remember, I had Kevin Durant one on my list at the time that he went down. He's averaging 29 a game. 29 after an 18-month layoff, averaging 29 a game on 52% shooting and 43.4% from three-point range. I had him as the league MVP until he went down. Let me say this. When I think about the Brooklyn Nets, everything evolves around Kevin Durant. If James Harden was out, but Kyrie is there, with KD, Brooklyn could still win it. If Kyrie was out, but James Harden was still there with KD, Brooklyn could still win it. With James Harden and Kyrie, without KD, they ain't getting out of the East. I don't know if you've been watching Philadelphia. You been seeing Philadelphia? Dwight Howard, by the way, 18-15 last night. And you know what? He's making a contribution. Yeah. Doc Rivers doing a hell of a job in Philadelphia. Let's call it what it is. Seth Curry. It's another Curry in the building. That brother can ball. We see what Tobias Harris and what he has been doing. Balling. Listen, it's a best of seven series. I'm not counting the Philadelphia 76ers out, particularly when Joel Embiid comes back, because I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing them do. When you look at the Nets, you're the number one offense, number one in shots from two-point range, number four in shots from three-point range. Harden, Kyrie, KD, Joe Harris, Jeff Green, can't say enough about him. And now you got LaMarcus Aldridge out there posting people up, either shooting corner threes or posting people up with his back to the basket and shooting fall-away shots, which he's capable of doing. The Brooklyn Nets are the Brooklyn Nets. But when we talk about Harden right now, even though I believe he deserves top-notch consideration for MVP, the MVP race is between him and Damian Lillard. But when I look at the Brooklyn Nets and their championship aspirations, everything comes through Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant can't go for you, you ain't winning. It's that simple.
I think the same thing about Harden. I think Kyrie and KD together, maybe they could win. I wouldn't bet on them. I think that Kyrie and KD together would probably come up a little bit short. Maybe not get to the finals.
But I'm saying they ain't getting to the finals without KD.
But I think that Harden and KD have comparable value. That doesn't mean Harden is as good as KD. If I have to choose one, I'll take KD. But they're both MVP-level players.
Yes, I agree with
and
that.
And unlike KD, Harden is the orchestrator of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this about KD. This is why I don't think he's actually the pivotal player. The thing about KD, like when I think about him as a player, I think here's a guy who would only ever make any team in the history of basketball better if he was on it. KD is only ever additive because he's almost 7 feet. He can get his own shot from anywhere. He can hit it from anywhere. He's a versatile defender who can defend multiple positions. And also, he doesn't need the ball, in fact. You can design plays for him for sure, but you don't need to. He can get 30-plus points just in the flow of the game because, as you would say, he's that lethal offensively. So he certainly adds to it, but I don't see him as the guy the team revolves around. In fact, I believe that will be James Harden, not as the best player, but as the orchestrator and the guy most essential to make everything flow right. And that dude is also the guy who has to prove it in the playoffs. Well, he's got to hit big shots.
Again, when we talk about James Harden, he's having maybe the best season of his career because of what he is showing he's capable of as a point guy and a floor general, orchestrating the offense or whatever. Watching basketball the way that I do come playoff time when everybody knows what you're going to do, when it's a best of seven series, Rondo's a different animal because of what he does up here and how he lives off this. See, a guy as great as James Harden, even though he has this up here, at some point in time, you tend to fall back to your greatness as a scorer because that's what we've known him to be, particularly the last 3 years when he was averaging over 30. I'm saying to you that when you take that into account and you look at the Eastern Conference, particularly with Philadelphia and Milwaukee, you're not beating them without Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant.
You ain't beat them without Harden either.
But I'm just telling you they can. I'm saying with a KD, without Harden, a KD and Kyrie or a KD and Harden can beat them. A Harden and Kyrie cannot beat them. You need KD. It ain't happening without KD. That's all I'm saying.
KD and
that's appreciating their greatness. Kyrie is phenomenal. Kyrie's a superstar. James Harden is a superstar. But you're not coming out of the East without KD.
I probably agree with that. I have to think more. I think that's a close call.
Well, you don't have to think. Just listen to your boy. That's all you had to do. Just listen to your boy. I'm not asking. I'm telling you.
I will remind you of something.
All right.
Without KD, Harden and Kyrie went on a West Coast trip. And beat the cream of the crop.
You don't get to do that.
Why?
That would be regular season games. Are you trying to say that regular season games matter, Max Kellerman?
Are you trying to say regular season matters?
Because this would be a first. Because last time I checked, Molly, regular season don't mean nothing to Max Kellerman.
You have a good point, damn it, about the playoffs. This is my point about James Harden.
Okay.
You bring up Rondo. And this is the thing I've been saying.
All right.
What makes playoff Rondo?
Right.
That's coach's time. That's the guys who know all the plays, the smart players, mm-hmm. the guys who do their homework. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys who excel in the playoffs, right? But that's James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he has consistently choked in the playoffs tells me
it's
not about his brain.
I think James Harden has consistently performed
less than he normally performed.
Well, I thought the last couple of years
most.
He hasn't performed bad in the playoffs. I don't believe that.
I think he's coming around too, but it took a lot of years for him to get there. And that's my point. It's not about his brain. He has a great basketball brain. He got the yips in the playoffs. He got nervous in the playoffs, obviously. Something about the playoffs affected him negatively. He's got to get over that for them to win.
When a team has 7 games to prepare for you to win 4 games, it's significantly different than going up against them in a regular season night when you've got somebody else. And that's why I'm telling you, they would need KD. Without KD, ain't happening.
7 feet.
Ain't happening. KD's the key. You all right, Molly?
Guys, I just lost you, but Max, I'll say this to you. Anything you say can be used against you in the court of law or on First Take, and Stephen A. remembers everything. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person.
And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. To boxing we go, fellas. Manny Pacquiao is in discussions to return to the boxing ring after an absence of nearly 2 years to fight WBO welterweight champion Terrence Crawford on June 5th. A source at Top Rank confirmed to ESPN on Tuesday, Crawford is ESPN's number one ranked pound-for-pound boxer and was the undisputed junior welterweight champion before moving up a division. Pacquiao, 42, won the WBA welterweight title from Keith Thurman in July 2019. Stephen A., does Pacquiao have any chance to beat Terrence Crawford?
Nah, and I love me some Manny Pacquiao, okay? This is one of the all-time greats. I don't care about the seven losses on his career. This, as Max was telling, reminded me during the break, this man moved up from the featherweight, for crying out loud.
Flyweight.
Flyweight, I apologize, to be the welterweight champion of the world. And Keith Thurman is a pretty damn good fighter, and Pacquiao beat him the last time they fought. July will make it 2 years since that fight. I just look at Pacquiao's age. I look at the young lion that Terrence Crawford is. We're talking about one of the top two fighters on the planet in Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford, understand that when you say Terrence Crawford is a champion, that don't mean anything. That don't mean anything to us. What means something to us is the fact that this brother one of the top two fighters on the planet. Now, I am a guy that's on the record. I think Canelo Alvarez is the best in the world right now. I think he's number one pound for pound. I don't want to hear anything from anybody. Canelo is special. He's a monster, okay? Crawford's right there. Crawford's on another level, man. And I'm just looking at this right now, and Pacquiao, who I still haven't gotten over. I know he hasn't been even knocked down, let alone knocked out since. You know what I'm saying? Had a couple of losses, Mayweather, Joe Horn, and from Australia before Crawford beat him up. I get who Pacquiao is. I haven't completely gotten over the knockout at the hands of Juan Manuel Marquez. You understand? Who was buffed up. I'll leave that to you. But in the end, man.
Special sauce in that fight.
Crawford is just special on an elite level. And I'm so mad that we still have. I'm calling out Al Haymon. I'm calling out Bob Arum. How can y'all not give us this Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford fight?
I want to say something about that first.
That's the fight we need to see.
Al Haymon and the PBC are behaving, because they have most of the best welterweights, are behaving as though that's the entire welterweight universe. And why do we need anyone else? We can make great fights, which they can among themselves. But until Spence fights Crawford, stop it.
Stop.
Just stop it.
We have to have that fight.
Now, but putting Spence Crawford aside for a second, just dealing with Pacquiao. Pacquiao would be, in my opinion, by the time the fight started, about a 2.5-1 underdog.
Okay. You know,
between 2-1.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree with that.
And I would pick Terrence Crawford. And by the way, Canelo has the best argument for best pound for pound in the world, but I would take Crawford. I can't prove it. It's just if you say me, put me on a lie detector test. Who do you think is the best fighter in the world? I'd say Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, I mean, look. And he and Spence are a 50-50 fight. That's how great Spence is. But Crawford, Pacquiao, you could be the best pound for pound. You could be a 2-3-1 favorite. That doesn't necessarily mean you win the fight. I think Crawford wins the fight. I think by the end, he beats Pacquiao up, knocks him out. But Pacquiao's got chances. Because, as you said, last time he was in the ring, it was against the undefeated welterweight titleist Keith Thurman. Now, Keith Thurman may not be Terrence Crawford, but he is a damn good fighter. Pacquiao went to war with Keith Thurman.
Dropped him in the first round.
And won a decision he deserved, right? When he lost to Jeff Horn, he probably should have won that decision.
He should have won that decision. Right? He should have won that decision. Okay. Joe Horn didn't deserve that.
I'm reminded, you know, Crawford switch hits. He'd go orthodox or southpaw, right?
Yeah.
Right-handed or southpaw.
Yeah.
You know who else did that who passed away recently? Marvelous. Marvin Hagler, of course. Middleweight champ of our childhood, right?
You know.
Hagler fought.
Marvelous one.
Hagler fought Roberto Duran, right? And it was his first big fight, Hagler, like against a big money name guy. And Duran was a lightweight moving up. And he was past his prime. He'd already lost some fights. Durant went total. He went Hagler 15 rounds. It was close. Hagler won by he won, but he squeaked.
Yeah,
by.
But
man, when you have a great fighter, he ain't different than Marvin Hagler. When you have a great fighter like Manny Pacquiao, even if he's older, especially if he's coming off a big win, even if it's over a year ago, he can still summon that greatness one last performance.
Okay. You're gonna get at me about this, but I'm gonna let you. When I'm on General Hospital.
Brick.
By the way, I'll be back on later this month. Last week in April, I'll be on General Hospital for 3 days, actually. Here's the deal. When I'm there, the star of the show is Maurice Bernard, who plays Sonny Corinto. He is a huge Keith Thurman fan, because he knows his boxing. And he's a huge Keith Thurman fan. I have never been, I have to confess. I respect him.
Yeah.
I think Keith Thurman is really good. But I never looked at Keith Thurman and looked at him the way I look at Crawford.
Agreed.
The way that I look at Spence. The way that I look at Canelo. The way that
he's
I look
excellent.
At Triple
He ain't
J.
pound for yeah, pound.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, right. I never looked at him that way. Okay. That's what I mean, okay? So Pacquiao beating him, even though I knew Pacquiao could lose that fight, it's to be respected. But it ain't the same.
Time out.
It ain't the same.
Time out. I agree
Go
with
ahead.
You.
Okay.
Crawford
okay.
never beat a welterweight as good as Keith Thurman.
I understand that, but Walt, he's mauled everybody that's been in his path.
Look, and here's
everybody
another thing.
That's
I'm glad
been
you brought
37
that up.
37-0 with 28 KOs.
I'm glad you brought
okay.
that up. When Crawford was a lightweight, he was a boxer puncher.
That's right.
Now that he's a welterweight, he's a puncher boxer.
Yes, he is.
He will take
because
more
he wants
risks.
Show.
He's sitting down on his punches, but. If you're a puncher boxer now and you're fighting Manny Pacquiao, that also gives Pacquiao more chances.
Yeah, but I don't think Crawford would do that with him because he knows that Pacquiao's a one-dimensional fighter. He's coming. He's elite, phenomenal, Hall of Famer, but he's coming. And so if you Terrence Crawford, you can turn back into the boxer puncher. You don't have to be the puncher boxer because that ain't what's going to require, Matt.
Maybe not until late in the fight, and then you turn into a puncher boxer and knock him out.
Okay.
Look, I
okay.
think you and I probably see this fight similarly in terms of who wins and the result
right.
and around when and all that
all right.
stuff.
Okay.
The difference is you're saying Pacquiao don't have a chance.
Against him.
Pacquiao has a chance against any welterweight.
Listen, Floyd said that was a tough fight. Yeah, okay, whatever. The point is that when you look at Pacquiao, Pacquiao's great. I know this. He's aged. We get that. I'm saying this because of Crawford, not because of see Pacquiao. I'm just saying Crawford he's at another level, man.
Yep. Let it go the distance, and a popular fighter like Pacquiao just enough.
Okay.
And maybe the decision
fair.
Could go the other
fair.
Way.
Fair.
I'm just saying there's
fair.
Chances.
Fair. I love Pacquiao, and I'm scared he's going to get knocked out.
Yeah.
Can I say it like that?
For sure.
I'm scared he's going to get knocked out. I don't want to see him get knocked out again.
I think Crawford by knockout.
I don't want Mitt Romney ringside with his mouth open.
Crawford by knockout
that.
Is a good pick. I'm just saying. Pacquiao didn't like go away and come back 10 years later, and now he's on the senior circuit. He's still getting in there with the best welterweights in the world.
I don't like him against Crawford. Not against Crawford. Not
I like
against
the fight.
That
you like the fight? You want to watch the fight?
Of course I'll
watch the fight.
KO streak. He's been knocking people out since 2016 when you're doing
the
first
take.
All right,
pound.
Let's leave it there, guys.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Yesterday, Kevin Durant addressed the messages released by actor Michael Rapaport that had been made public this week. Rapaport posted private messages that he said Durant had sent him, which included threatening language, anti-gay, had sent misogynistic slurs. Coach Steve Nash had Oh, I guess we got the sound right now. Go ahead with the sound.
I'm sorry that people seen the language I use. It's not really what I want people to see and hear from me. But hopefully I can move past it and get back out on the floor.
Okay, what I was saying before we got the sound was that Coach Steve Nash did address this with him, with the team, et cetera, and obviously that was KD addressing the situation for the first time. Stephen A., how do you think the NBA should handle this?
I think they should fine him and move on. It's unfortunate that Michael Rappaport would reveal those text messages. He should not have done that. You know, that private DM from Kevin Durant, he should not have done that. That was the wrong thing to do, you know? And for, in the interest of full disclosures, Max Kellerman, Molly, I've had private conversations and back and forths with numerous players. Two of them have been Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the past. You've never heard me utter it, and I wouldn't without their permission. I wouldn't do that. It's a private matter, and that's not what you do. And so that's a code that Michael Rappaport violated, and I think it's important to say that. Having said all of that, I also think that Kevin Durant was going directly at Michael Rappaport. You can't use that language. You shouldn't use that language. And the league needs to send a message by simply fining him to make that point. But let's not make it more than it is. Even though you're going to have folks in the gay community that will look at it as anti-gay and stuff like that and personalizing it. No, Kevin Durant was going at Michael Rappaport because obviously they've communicated in the past. And, you know, he felt like Michael Rappaport shouldn't have been saying some things. And so they were going at, it was a personal argument between themselves. To try to generalize this, like Kevin Durant was being anti-gay or anything like that, I think is going a step too far because I do not believe for one second that that was his intent. And I don't think that he should be bothered with all of that. But that doesn't mean the commissioner is going to feel that way. And it doesn't mean the commissioner is going to feel that way based on the evidence that security brings to Byron Spruill, who runs operations for the NBA. And when him and when he commiserates with Commissioner Adam Silver, who knows what conclusion they will come to. And I'm going to reiterate this point because I know it's going to go up because I know this is going to come up because I know this league. When Donald Sterling was exiled from the NBA, banned from the NBA by Adam Silver, that was based off of a private conversation that he was having with his mistress that she secretly taped. And Adam Silver said, quote, well, it's public now. It's public now. So because no matter how private the conversation may have been, well, I mean, why do you have to be around black people? I mean, what is that about? What do you get out of being around black people? No, Kevin Durant was talking to Michael Rappaport. He wasn't talking about anybody else, any group of people or anybody else. He was talking directly to Michael Rappaport. So I do think they're two completely different situations. But make no mistake about it, there's going to be other owners and league executives that say, well, you did this to Donald Sterling for this reason. What you gonna do to this guy? Why are you not gonna do anything? Is it because he's a player? That's what I'm fearful of, but I hope that the NBA commissioner and the league office would think better than taking this further than a fine because it's a personal argument and I think they should leave it at that and I don't think any more of it should be made, any more noise should be made about it. That's my personal opinion. Leave Kevin Durant alone after the fine.
Yeah, he has to be punished. I agree, it's probably a fine. For two reasons. One, it's for the anti-gay remarks. Even though he didn't intend, it doesn't seem to me, to mean it as anti-gay, he meant it more generally as an insult. The way he was using the language seemed to me to say, you're kissing someone's butt, right? You're kissing up to them. But he used language that was anti-gay. And the problem is, not just when he says, I wish people wouldn't have heard me use that, or know that I used that language, or heard the language that I used, it's that when you do that, implicit in that remark is there's something wrong with that. So a lot of people who are gay, and just people who empathize with other people say, well, wait a minute, that feels bad for other people to hear. But that's why I think KD is saying, I don't want anyone else to hear it. Whatever I'm directing in my private life, I did not mean for that to be public, and we all know that we have different behavior and even sometimes language in private than in public. We don't curse generally in public as much as we would do in private or use bad language, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that he made a threat. You can't threaten somebody, and especially put it in writing. Now, I understand why KD wouldn't expect to be exposed that way, because he's like, wait a minute, that's a DM. That's between me and you.
Yeah.
And now you're going to put me out on Front Street. Apparently, KD and Michael Rappaport have a relationship off Front Street.
They do.
Right?
Or they did.
Right. And that's why maybe KD got mad in the first place. Like, if you hang out with somebody, if you know someone a little bit, and then they're publicly criticizing you, you're like, wait, time out. Why are you publicly getting on social media and saying stuff about me if we're hanging out in private, right? Like, well, I figured that was, like, we're past that kind of thing, or you wouldn't do that. The other thing I want to say about KD, so I do think he should be punished, I think it's a fine, is, in a way, he seems thin-skinned, right? Like, stuff really bothers him. He's had burner accounts. He gets into it with fans on social media, or has in the past. And you're like, KD, what's that about? What is it, some kind of insecurity? But there's another way to look at that from KD, and that's he does care what people think because he respects other people. In a way, you would think, well, how does that make any sense? Well, why are you getting into it with a fan, KD? That's just some anonymous
fan. What I will say, that a lot of people feel like he's not respecting them, like he's so thin-skinned at times that
right.
he comes across as a bit truculent, a bit acerbic. And
what I'm saying is, yes, yes.
That's what they say about
him now.
And
what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is there's a way to...
what they're saying about him now.
What I'm saying is there's a way to see it in the opposite way. Like,
right.
KD, why are you getting into it with a fan, some anonymous fan on social media? Boy, you're really sensitive. Another way to look at it is, actually, just because that's an anonymous fan, he doesn't think of them as any less of a person than if some famous person, like Michael Rappaport or someone else, says something. He treats people like people. Even a fan on social media, it matters to him, and he expects to be treated the same way.
I love the fact, Max, that he speaks his mind. You know, I've always respected the hell out of KD from the standpoint that he's real and true to himself in terms of his feelings, and he doesn't mind expressing himself. Yep. There's a couple of times that we've gotten the back and forth, and I had to stand down and go like this. He got me there. He's right about that. I was wrong about that. You know, when we've just communicated privately amongst ourselves, he's made some very, very valid points.
See?
He's a highly intelligent brother. He expresses himself, and I have no problem with it. The problem is, though, you know, he sometimes acts like you don't have a right to assume based on the evidence that you're confronted with. It's like if you're not getting something out of thin air, like, for example, you might call him thin skin, right? You just did, okay? He'd be offended by that, mm-hmm. at least if the past has been indicative of that. He'd be offended by something like that. When you're saying there's a mountain of evidence.
Get offended by being called thin-skinned, it proves the point.
But there's a mountain of evidence that shows that you have reasons for saying what you said, and he might want you to shove all of that aside because he firmly believes otherwise. That's the kind of stuff that he encounters himself with. And when they call LeBron James the king, one of the reasons they call LeBron James the king is because he's a champion four times over. Another reason they call LeBron James the king is because he handles himself and his business in such an adult and man-like fashion that it does make other people look a little bit bad at times.
I get that point, too. One thing that strikes me about KD is he's been caught with burner accounts, right?
Like, right.
And what that tells me is KD is living in a world where he has certain things he wants to say, but he's not allowed. That's why you have a burner account, right? And here again, he's caught saying things like, this is how I talk in private or to someone I know who I'm mad at. The person that KD is seems to be someone mm-hmm. who's chafing against right. the fact that he's not really allowed to be himself in public.
Before we move on, let me say this. Years ago, Charles Barkley showed up at a press conference with all of us NBA reporters because he was joking around about something, and I forget what it was, and it was deemed inappropriate, and they made national news over it or whatever. Charles Barkley walked into a press conference for the NBA and cussed out everybody. Everybody. And mm-hmm. said, now, what the hell is your question?
Right.
And everybody was silent because they took it out of context and they tried to castigate him for no good reason. So what I'm saying is the level of bravery that Barkley has, particularly if you're in Kevin Durant's position, you say he can't say something. No, Max, is that you choose to want to say something but not absorb the shrapnel that comes with it. Charles Barkley is somebody that doesn't care and strong enough not to care. I might be another one of those people. Several other people might be another one of those people. If you're an athlete, it's not that you can't. It's that you might not be brave enough to deal with the fallout from it.
Not everyone can be Charles Barkley.
He's not going to lose his job.
I don't think we could have a world where everyone was Charles Barkley.
I understand
that. It takes all kinds. And Charles Barkley, Kevin Durant, KD here, if he reacts the way he did, proves the charge that he is being thin-skinned.
But if you're not worried about losing your job, but you know you're going to still get your money, what you worried about? You say what you mean. You mean what you say and you move on.
At the end of the day, guys, the older I get, the less people I want to deal with. I don't know how people have the same phone number since high school.
I agree with that.
If I could, I'd change my phone number every 6 months. Life is hard enough. You only want people in your life that actually add to it and to deal with all that nonsense. And at this point, it's like, who cares what people think? People are going to talk about you regardless of what you do. People are going to judge you as perfect as you try to be.
Hey, Molly, you brought up the other day.
I used to live like that, trying to be a people pleaser and worry
about
what everybody thinks.
That's where I'm going.
Who gives a damn?
Remember what you
now
brought up the other day?
Stephen A.
You remember what you brought up the other day when you said you started working here and you received some advice from Skip Bayless, but then you forgot to mention the part when you came to me. And I said, you said to me, how do you deal with it one time? And I said to you, Molly, only thing I ask is, did they spell my name right? It's with a PH, not a V. Other than them, they could kick rocks. I could give a damn what they say.
Well, we saw
that's
this,
what I told
we
you.
We saw this
back in 2015.
Life is too
and I still
short.
Mean it that way today.
It's too
who
much.
Cares?
Who cares?
We saw
who
this.
Cares?
We saw
We're
this. And I wasn't.
Best.
I wasn't on the show when you responded to Russell Westbrook, right? I wasn't, but we saw it then too. And Westbrook's point was you're not just gonna control the narrative. All we're doing, or all people are going to have their thoughts. They're entitled to their own thoughts. And if they make them public, as long as they have the ability to do so, and now with social media, everyone does, they can do that too. And Westbrook, Durant, and no one else can control in a free country what people think and say about them.
Well, I say bump the narrative. We all make mistakes. We're all imperfect. And just try your best. That's all I got to say about it. By the way, we did ask everybody at home what they think in terms of if KD should be punished. And 62% said no. So the majority are saying no, he should not. We'll see what happens. We'll keep you all up to speed on what happens. Guys, more NBA to dive into. Let's go to the Nuggets. Last night, defeating the Clippers 101-94 last night in a game in which the Nuggets led the entire way. Paul George contributed 17 points, 8 rebounds after missing the previous two games with a sore right foot. Max, do you think Paul George is going to be under more pressure than anybody in these Western Conference playoffs?
I do. I do think so because, look, you can blame Kawhi all you want for playing GM. And Kawhi had a bad game 7 against Denver. But otherwise, Kawhi has been an all-time great throughout his whole career, an all-time great playoff performer. Just look at what he does in the playoffs. He's been unbelievable in the clutch. Even Mariano Rivera blew some World Series, right? It happens even to the best closers of all time. But that's what Kawhi has been, like an all-time great clutch player. Now, are Kawhi and Paul George's talent and skills pitched quite as high and physical gifts pitch quite as high as LeBron and AD? No, not quite. But they should be good enough given the right supporting cast to get it done. And they seem to have the right supporting cast now with the Clippers. They bring in Rondo. They go, by the way, we were talking about Terrence Mann. That kid can play.
He can
second
play.
Round pick.
I like Terrence Mann. Like him a lot.
They still have Patrick Beverley and Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris and Zubac and, you know, Ibaka and Batum. They have a supporting cast, and Kawhi is going to play the way he's going to play in the playoffs, which is, you know, a 30-point-plus guy and a great player, an MVP-level player. It comes down to what Paul George does. If Paul George can elevate or even just stay Paul George in the playoffs, they have a chance to win the whole thing. The problem with Paul George, as it is the problem with James Harden, although Harden is falling from higher heights than Paul George, is he has been unable consistently just to stay Paul George when it matters most. Therefore, the Clippers, who are ready to win a chip, it looks like to me on paper, the Lakers are hurting, the Nets are hurting, and even if they weren't, the Clippers are right there, are depending on the guy Kawhi made them give all that stuff up for to come through when it matters most. That's Paul George.
I think you're wrong on this. I truly, truly do. But before I get into that, let me say that the Denver Nuggets are real. Mm. Michael Porter is special. And right now, we have universally walked around acknowledging Jerry West as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, executive in the history of sports, in the history of basketball. I would remind everybody that Jerry West was a consultant and a right-hand man to Ballmer and Lawrence Frank, Doc Rivers, and those boys in L.A. They had the 12th and the 13th pick.
Passed on.
It was either 12th or the 13th or the 13th or 14th, I remember. It was one of the, but they had back-to-back picks in the first round. And they passed up on Michael Porter Jr.
Because of his back?
That's right. Hey, I understand. That's a reasonable reason to back off from somebody. But damn it, it was a mistake.
Oof.
As we look at Michael Porter, ladies and gentlemen, let me put y'all on notice. This man is a young, rising star in basketball. And if he can stay healthy, the Denver Nuggets will win a championship within the next 2 to 3 years.
Could be this year.
It could be this year. But they will win a championship because Jamal Murray is that dude and the Joker is the
Joker. You watched the game last
night. Yes, I did.
Did you see the two-man game that Jokic and Aaron Gordon had going?
Listen.
When Aaron Gordon cut to the basket?
I understand that, and that's a big deal, particularly when you got bigs like Drummond and Anthony Davis with LeBron in the West to deal with. Aaron Gordon is definitely a plus. It's not an accident they're undefeated with since he arrived at 4-0. But let me tell you why I'm going with Kawhi Leonard as the guy with the pressure. I get what you're talking about in terms of Paul George's game. But when Paul George, and I love Paul George and I believe in him and I believe he's going to get it done. But if for some reason he doesn't, we ain't going to let Kawhi Leonard off the hook. Because when you ask the Clippers to mortgage the farm and give up multiple first, second round, and second round picks and all the stuff that they gave up to get Paul George because Kawhi Leonard demanded that they do so. When you do all of that, you don't get to run and hide and point the finger at somebody else because they didn't get it done when that was your guy. Okay? It's almost like management. If management swears to upper management, this is the guy, and then that guy flames out, well, then that's on you. Who insisted to management, you got to get them. Now we got to take it a step further because it gets even more important here. You know what Kawhi Leonard was saying in the offseason when they lost to the Denver Nuggets after being up 3-1? Max, we need a point guard. We need a point guard. We got to get a point guard. We don't have a point guard. Patrick Beverly can play, but he's basically a defensive player. But we need a point guard. We need a quintessential floor general, somebody that can run the show, somebody that can run the offense so every shot we get ain't a difficult contested shot.
He's right.
Blah, 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 blah. He was right. Now you got Rondo.
Who hasn't played for them yet, by the way.
Who hasn't played for them yet. Now you got Rondo. Playoff Rondo. That's what you got him for. So, okay, you needed Paul George? You got him. You need a point guard? You got him. This is your franchise. You want to be the dude with the crown dangling from the mirror of your convertible, arriving in L.A. as a champion and an NBA Finals MVP, saying this is your town now? You didn't say it, but your New Balance commercial said it for you. Where you at? The point is, again, you average 25.9. Kawhi Leonard's a superstar. I know that. There's no debating here, just like I wasn't debating that about Russell Westbrook yet the other day. Nobody's debating the greatness of the individual talent that Kawhi Leonard is. That is done, period. The question is, what you come to L.A. for? What you come to the Clippers for? We asked because now's the time. And just like last year, you were 3-1 with LeBron waiting for you. You didn't make it there. You got to remember, Kawhi Leonard has the license to opt out and be a free agent this summer. He don't have to stay with the Clippers. What you there for? You here to deliver something they never have. The Clippers have never even been to a conference final.
Ever.
Ever. Could you imagine if Kawhi Leonard doesn't even get them to a conference finals? Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not looking at Paul George. I'm looking at him.
Fair point. I'll say this. If he chokes in a game seven again, I think you'd be right. I don't anticipate that because he's never done it before.
I don't either.
He's always been, again, look at Kawhi's playoff record. He's one of the greatest players who ever lived in the playoffs. Yeah. He's better than normally in the regular season. That's a great player.
Well, I disagree with you there. I'm not saying numbers-wise. What I'm saying is you weren't asked to do anything in the regular season when you were with the Spurs compared to what they asked you to do in the playoffs.
Okay, but then Toronto.
I'm just saying, but they asked for more. In Toronto, but you remember, he took about 22 games off. It was the load management thing. He wasn't asked to do that. He was there for the playoffs. He was there for the playoffs.
In the playoffs, he's been one of the greatest players ever in the playoffs. But he did choke in game seven.
But you got to remember those conditions.
So if he does that again, I'm with you. All right, that's on you, Kawhi. The pressure would be. But I'm saying this. Basically, he's not the GM LeBron is. LeBron looked at Miami and said, I'm going to take Wade and Bosh, put himself in a winning situation. Kyrie and Kevin Love, putting himself in a winning situation. All right, I'm only going to be able to have one dude with me in L.A. Who's that going to be? AD. Winning situation. AD's an MVP caliber player. Kawhi's only got to make a choice one time. That was to go to the Clippers and say, hey, bring me Paul George. Paul George then has to be a second banana who can play at almost an MVP level. He hasn't done it in the playoffs. Now, the reason he's with the Clippers and not the Lakers, Stephen A., is because LeBron tried to get him in L.A. Hey, come join me and AD. That's non-competitive. Right. The league is not competitive.
I agree. And I respect
Kawhi,
for that. And
Kawhi's like, no, I'm going to compete against you.
I respect
the best
that.
Available dude was Paul George.
Yeah, but that's you. Why don't you get the hell over it, Max? Why don't you stop hiding behind all of this stuff? Max, why don't you get him a Christmas card? Buy him a Christmas present. Invite him over to dinner. You want to celebrate
Paul
that?
George got to step up.
No. What I'm saying to you is that, that's what he did.
Yeah.
I respect that. He did it. But in the end, it's about what you're going to do. You came to L.A. for a reason. You had them sacrifice the farm for a reason. You wanted Paul George. You wanted your point guard. They've given you everything you wanted. And we know he was asking for some other stuff, the private jets and
flights,
everything else. We probably know he got that,
if you
too.
You get it. I'm not mad at him.
Get the PJ. Get it all.
But in the end, you got to show up. And if Kawhi if the Los Angeles Clippers – don't make it to the conference final.
Let me ask you something.
The number one person you must look at is Kawhi Leonard.
Let me ask you something. If they don't make it to the conference finals,
right.
And who do you predict it will be who has underperformed? Kawhi, Rondo, or Paul George?
I would tell you it would be Paul George based on history.
Right.
Based on history. Because Rondo shows up in the playoffs, and Kawhi has too, except game seven last year. But what I'm saying to you is, again, similar to what I was talking about with Westbrook, I know what you can do. I know your numbers. That's a given. The point is, you got to finish the job. And if you're Kawhi Leonard and you know Ballmer did all of this because you're trying to build a new arena where the former LA
Kawhi said, get me Paul George or I'm not coming.
Where the LA Forum used to be, you're trying to build a new arena there. You're trying to establish yourself in LA. This is what you're trying to do. It's a big deal. That's why he did all of this.
So let me get
and you've
got
to at least get us to the conference finals.
By that logic, though, like if LeBron, who chose Kyrie, right? Like he comes back to Cleveland because he sees Kyrie, goes, I can win with this cat, right? And then brings in Kevin Love also. If Kyrie didn't play big in game seven against the Warriors and they lose, that's on LeBron? No, that's like LeBron identified a killer in Kyrie. If anything you want to criticize Kawhi about is that he thought Paul George had something in him, which might be there, by the way. I'm rooting for Paul George just like you
Paul
are.
Paul George does
it
have
might
it
be
in
there,
him.
And he
Listen,
might do it, but he hasn't done it yet.
The problem with Paul George is that you're constantly asking him to be that dude that scores regardless of being contested, whatever. Nothing is coming easy for Paul George because nobody is facilitating
Rondo.
Anything easy for Paul George. That's why Rondo's going to be so important.
That's why the pressure's on him because he has that now.
But I'm not saying that Paul George doesn't have to produce. I'm saying in the end, if the Clippers come up short, how dare anybody look at Paul George before they look at Kawhi Leonard? You didn't show up in game seven either.
So if Kawhi drops 30 a night, hits clutch shot after clutch shot, and they come up short against a monster like Denver or Utah, and Paul George.
You're looking at it differently than me. You know what I'm looking at it, Max? If you're good enough to get to a game seven, close. I'm not looking at Paul George to close. I'm looking at Kawhi to close. Now, if you get bum rushed in five or something like that, well, then that explains that. That's different. But if you're good enough to get to a game seven, what did I say when Allen Iverson went up against Kobe and Shaq?
Get one.
I went like this. Oh, AI gonna get you one. he going to get you one.
When Jordan,
you get to a game seven, you Kawhi Leonard, you should be able
Michael
to close.
When Michael Jordan went to a game seven against the Pistons, defending champions, Scottie Pippen had a migraine, scored 2 points in 40 minutes, right? Was that, that on Jordan for not closing?
No, but that was because that was before Jordan became a champion.
But
Kawhi's a two-time champion.
But you want to point to that game and say that's on Jordan because they got to a game seven?
No, no, but we were talking about, the bad boy Pistons. Hey, they beat you. You know, they made new rules because of what they did to Jordan. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You can't compare.
That's the point is, you're not looking at Jamal, MJ. You're looking at Pippen.
Listen, Jordan got beat up. In the case of Kawhi Leonard, Jamal Murray dropped 40. 40.
I'm not arguing against that.
40.
I'm not arguing against Kawhi choking in this game. He just never choked before.
Could you have stopped Jamal Murray from dropping 40?
Nobody
don't
stopped
you know
Jamal
how to play
Murray.
Stop oh, really?
No.
I thought Kawhi could.
No,
I thought
nobody
could
stop
could.
Jamal Murray.
I thought Kawhi could.
Nobody
could
stop
could.
Jamal Murray. Stop
you're, you're, I understand.
He just had a series against Donovan Mitchell. 50 points, no turnovers one game.
Listen.
50 with no turnovers.
Kawhi Leonard. What is Kawhi Leonard known for? Why was he an MVP against Miami?
Defense.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
But then ain't no defensive player stopping that Jamal
Please.
Murray.
Okay. Well, then you ain't that dude.
Kawhi's not that dude.
Then you ain't that dude.
Because he can't stop Jamal
Get
Murray.
Get to a conference finals.
I'm with it. His main support's got to show up.
Conference finals.
Agreed. PG-13 got to show up.
He'll show up.
This Paul is George, already a lot on a Friday.
Hey,
I have
gonna
a 48-hour break from Max and Stephen A. It's going to be hard, but I think I'll be able to get through it.
Paige Beckett.
I find my time.
Oh, no.
Paige Beckett.
Don't act like you know anything about UConn basketball.
Paige.
Get out of here, Winston-Salem
State. She's the truth.
Goodbye. 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 Don't even try to get on my bandwagon.